Hey, it's Otis here. Before we get to the bedtime reading, I wanted to let you know that I just launched a brand new show. It's called The Daily Book Club, a daytime companion to Sleepy, where you hear entire books one chapter at a time, one day at a time. Simple as that. So if Sleepy is how you wind down your day, The Daily Book Club is a great way to start your day. There's new episodes daily. I read in a slightly peppier voice so that you can get really lost in these amazing stories that have stood the test of time. Or, just like Sleepy, you can sit back and relax and zone out to a good book. The first book we'll be reading is The Enchanted April by Elizabeth Von Arnim. Story is, in the 1920s, four women unfulfilled with life take a chance and abscond to a dreamy medieval Italian castle. It's a story dripping with wisteria, the beauty of solitude, and an unlikely pursuit of joy in Portofino, Italy. I think that this is a perfect story for the season, and you can hear it now. Find the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. This show has been a long time coming, and I'm so excited to bring you even more stories. So go subscribe to the Daily Book Club to hear what happens next. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey. My name's Otis Gray, and you're listening to Sleepy. A podcast where I read old books to help you get to sleep, and a proud member of the Airwave Podcast Network. I have got a wonderful, snoozy bedtime story for you tonight. But before we get to tonight's reading, I just want to thank all of our patrons on Patreon.com. Steve Pickett, Ingrid Gollisman, Wemimo, Jordan, Cheryl Chase, and Sebastian Regenbald. And for anyone who doesn't know, all of these wonderful names that I just read are brand new supporters of Sleepy on Patreon.com, which is a website where you can go and support creators of the work that you like. So if the Sleepy podcast has helped you get a better night's rest and wake up more refreshed the next day, then consider going to Patreon.com/Sleepy Radio and donating even $1 a month. It goes a really long way, and it means a lot. And at $5 a month, you get access to a whole extra poetry feed where I send you extra poetry readings that are not on the regular podcast. But regardless, no matter how much you donate, I will read your name in the opening credits of the next show after you do. So, again, if you would like to be a part of making this show, then go to patreon.com/sleepyradio. Thank you. And as always, the music you're hearing is by my good friend James Lepkowski, and the cover art for Sleepy is by Gracie Kanan. For tonight's story, I'm currently staying out at a friend's place in Cape Cod, and There's a bunch of wonderful old books on the shelves, and found this really old copy of Cinderella and Other Stories by Richard Harding Davis, and was flipping through the book, and this popped out as one that would be great to read on the show. So tonight, I'm going to be reading The Editor's Story by Richard Harding Davis. And now is the time for you to fluff up your pillow just how you like it. Feel yourself melt into your bed. Get real comfortable. Close your eyes and let me read to you. The Editor's Story. It was a warm afternoon in the early spring, and the air in the office was close and heavy. The letters of the morning had been answered and the proofs corrected, and the gentlemen who had come with ideas worth one column at space rates and which they thought worth three had compromised with the editor on a basis of two and departed. The editor's desk was covered with manuscripts in a heap that never seemed to grow less, and each manuscript bore a character of its own, as marked or as unobtrusive as the character of the man or woman who had written it, which disclosed itself in the care with which some were presented for consideration in the vain little ribbons of others, or the selfish manner in which still others were tightly rolled or vilely scribbled. The editor held the first page of a poem in his hand and was reading it mechanically, for its length had already declared against it, unless it might chance to be the precious gem out of a thousand, which must be chosen in spite of its 20 stanzas. But as the editor read, his interest awakened, and he scanned the verses again, as one would turn to look a second time at a face which seemed familiar. At the fourth stanza, his memory was still in doubt. At the sixth, it was warming to the chase, and at the end of the page was in full cry. He caught up the second page and looked for a final verse, and then at the name below, and then back again quickly to the title of the poem, and pushed aside the papers on his desk in search of any note which might have accompanied it. The name signed at the bottom of the second page was Edwin Aram. The title of the poem was Bohemia, and there was no accompanying note, only the name Berkeley written at the top of the first page. The envelope in which it had come gave no further clue. It was addressed to the same handwriting as that in which the poem had been written, and it bore the postmark of New York City. There was no request for the return of the poem, no direction to which either the poem itself or the check for its payment in the event of its acceptance might be sent. Berkeley might be the name of an apartment house, or of a country place, or of a suburban town. The editor stepped out of his office into the larger room beyond and said, "I have a poem here that appeared in an American magazine about 7 years ago. I remember the date because I read it when I was at college. Someone is either trying to play a trick on us or to get money by stealing some other man's brains." It was in this way that Edward Aram first introduce himself to